Coming up, we're at Next Radio. Our man Trevor Dan talks to speakers and delegates at the event held in central London this week. We'll also hear from the Community Radio Awards that were held in Sheffield last weekend. James Cridland looks at radio industries around the world. And David Lloyd is back with an educational and entertaining trip down memory lane.
Roll VT.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
But first, Radio Today's Roy Martin joins me to talk through the big stories of the week in radio. How's your week been, Roy?
Oh, don't say we're going down memory lane and you'll get Sam annoying us on Twitter again.
Yes.
It's all about the future. I'm very well. My week has been fine. How's your week been?
Yeah, not too bad. A few radio things to follow. ARIA's nominations were out. That was the big excitement of the week, wasn't it? They were quite interesting.
Oh, yes. I look forward to all the awards for LBC and Heart. I was talking of awards. I was at the Community Radio Awards of the weekend as well and went to the conference too, which was nice. It was in Sheffield, of all places.
Ah, lovely part of the world in Yorkshire. Welcome to Yorkshire.
Well, yeah, try and avoid Yorkshire because you're there, but it was all right. It was raining.
So let's talk about the ARIA nominations. We'll hear more about the Community Radio Awards in a little while, by the way. ARIA nominations out. Obviously, there's no global entries in there because we've discovered that they haven't entered again. Come on, Ashley, sort it out. But still some hotly contested categories. One that caught my eye is Best Music Presenter at Breakfast. You got Chris Evans up against Sam and Amy, the duo he's going to replace on Virgin Breakfast, along with Dottie, Nick Grimshaw, who doesn't do breakfast anymore, Milo and Rosie, and Big John at Breakfast. So that's going to be an interesting one to see who wins that. What's caught your eye?
I think the Station of the Year categories this year is quite interesting. The local one has got a good mixed bag in there. Spire FM in Salisbury, up against the likes of Radio London, Radio Leeds, and even an internet radio station based in Manchester. What's all that about? I suppose it's open to everybody. And National Station of the Year is basically BBC versus Bauer plus TalkSport. Are they really the biggest and best radio stations in the UK, or is Global actually missing a trick here and should be part of it?
There's the argument, I suppose. Could LBC have won that award? But yeah, so National Station of the Year is Absolute, BBC Radio 1, Planet Rock, 5 Live, TalkSport, and Radio 4. And I think looking through the nominations, Radio 1 did very well with 8 nominations plus 2 for Radio 1 Vintage. There's 8 nominations for 5 Live as well, and 20 for Absolute Radio. So it just goes to show, even without Christine O'Connell, you can still get a lot of nominations.
Yeah. How many nominations have the BBC got? Have we got a number?
I think it's about 58.
So they've successfully been nominated for 58. How many do you think they actually put in?
There's a question. It's difficult to tell. I mean, because of the low entry prices, a lot of people will have put more in these days, because when the Sonys were around, it cost a lot more to put an entry in. So I think because it doesn't cost very much, there are probably more entries gone in, and that's a good thing. So you're representing more of the radio industry, I guess.
Yeah, and it's evident that the BBC and Bauer have just gone for this big time, haven't they, with all the nominations they've got. I wonder how much how many man hours it takes and how many hotels it takes and things like that to put all this on and be part of it.
It takes quite a lot, but I think it's probably worth it in the end, isn't it? You know, it's a big celebration for the industry. As I say, and we've said before, it's just a shame Global are not part of it. So come on, Ashley. Let's play ball next year.
But they have got their own awards now in London, so maybe they're not too bothered about taking part in everybody else's.
Yeah, maybe. So a quick mention as well for Roger Cutsforth announced this week. He's leaving the Radio Academy and leaving the job of CEO. Opens a vacancy for somebody else to go and take that on. Big shoes to fill.
Well, you are Leeds-based almost, and you know you could just pick things up if you wanted to go for it, Stuart.
Oh, no, it's far too highly paid for me. No, I couldn't do that.
It's paid.
So good luck to Roger and a big party for him at the ARIAs to finish it. Hey, here's something. Big story for us today. The big top 40.
Yeah, this is interesting. So what's happened here is Bauer has, as we kind of realised back in June when Hits Radio launched, All the Bauer stations are dropping the chart. So Global has basically, I presume, turned around and said, well, if Bauer's not taking it, it's not really worth our while to produce it for everybody else. So they've said to everybody else who takes the chart, which is quite a number of stations, they've said, sorry, it's not available to syndicate anymore, and it's just going to be our production on our stations. An interesting move, and another example of the industry not playing ball together.
But it looks like it's not Global who've initiated this. It's Bauer who've said, we don't want to take it anymore. We're going to do our own thing. We don't want to share this with your stations. And so Global has then said, fine, well, we'll not make it for anybody else either. So unlike the awards where it's Global not playing and everybody else is, it's Bauer pulling out of this one, interestingly.
Yeah, so they're all at it.
Sarah or Zoe, it's still the big question this week. Still no news on who's getting Radio 2 Breakfast. Our money is, I think, probably still on Sarah Cox, even though the papers went saying Zoe Ball's going to get it. And I reckon, from what we've heard, whichever one doesn't get it could be going to do Drive on Virgin.
So Sarah Cox for Virgin, you're saying?
Or Zoe Ball for Virgin.
Do you think Virgin are really... I mean, you spoke to Scott last week and he said the rest of the lineup they're happy with. So for them to try and stick Cox or Balls on the afternoon drive time show.
Yeah, but he would say that, wouldn't he? Scott has got to say that. Whether we believe him to say that they're not going to change the rest of the schedule. Nothing against anybody who's on that schedule at the moment. And we've said this before on this podcast. But if you're putting Chris Evans on Breakfast and you want him to increase your audience from 400,000 to 2 or 3 million... then you need more than just Chris Evans on Breakfast.
I'm sure the Sun will let us know as soon as somebody at News tells them.
One thing's for sure, there'll be some agents making some money.
Absolutely.
Scotty McClue is back.
Of course, yeah, it's been a while. He's been tweeting Dinky Doo for probably about a decade now with no actual radio show, so it's good that he's getting a weekend show on Nation Radio Scotland. It must be live, because it's a phone-in. So it must. I don't know if what else is live on that station, but it'd be good to hear Scotty McClue taking complaints from listeners about how high the step is to get on the bus and things like that.
Dropped bottoms. Yes, I hope he's got a delay unit. We hope it's live, but delayed by 8 seconds at least.
Yeah, good luck, Scotty. Welcome back.
And the deadline is fast approaching for small-scale DAB applications. End of this week, people need to get their applications in for an expression of interest to run a small-scale DAB multiplex. And from the people I've been talking to, it seems like there's quite a lot of people putting in for these groups all around the country. So it'd be interesting to see the evidence of demand for new small-scale multiplexes. I think Ofcom are going to publish a list of all the areas where expressions of interest have been received over the next month or so. So that's going to be interesting to follow.
Yeah, and I think Ofcom said a while ago they're expecting something like 200 applications. So if that's still the case, good luck with that.
Hello to celebrity listener Ian Dale. He tweeted us this week. He also put us in
celebrity.
His new... Yeah, well, in his new blog, 10 Podcasts I Listen To. You said that, not me. Thank you, Ian, for your lovely comments about me. You can withdraw what you said about Roy.
He doesn't like the Geek of the Week feature, does he?
No, but you'll be pleased to know it's not here this week, Ian. We haven't got time for it this week and we haven't got a guest to play. So no geek quiz this week. It will come back. We'll do it every month or maybe a couple of times a month, but it's not going to be on every week.
But thanks for agreeing to come on the show at a future date, Ian. Look forward to speaking to you.
Yeah, it'd be good to get you on if Global will let you. So get in touch with us and tell us you're listening to the podcast like Ian did. It'd be great to hear from you. Tell us what you like, which bits you don't like. You can email us news@radiotoday.co.uk or you can tweet us @radiotoday, @StuartClarkson or @RoyMartin.
Yes. Meanwhile, Stu, have you got anything to say about Clean Feed? I know you usually do.
Oh, Clean Feed, yes. Thank you for the reminder. If you've not heard about Clean Feed, it's very good. Have a look at it at cleanfeed.net. Whether you're doing OBs, interviews from remote locations, co-hosting a show from somewhere different to normal, Clean Feed's great. It's been designed for radio people and for podcasters, and it's really simple to connect in live, good quality audio over the web and record within the browser as well. It doesn't cost you anything to get started. 30 seconds to sign up, it's all it'll take you, and you could be doing your first live interview or recording within a few minutes. All the details at cleanfeed.net. That's cleanfeed.net.
Fantastic.
Right, thank you, Roy. Still lots to come on the Radio Today programme this week, and now to tell us what went on at this year's Next Radio conference. Here's Trevor Dan.
Thank you, Stu. This was the 8th year of Next Radio, and we were back in the elegant portals of the Royal Institution in London to hear from more than 20 speakers, all of them for either 9 or 18 minutes, so it was a fast-moving day, on topics ranging from Radio 1's Pass the Pasty to making a living as a podcaster, and from cloud-based playout systems to advice on how to get strangers to tell you their life stories. I had an absolutely fantastic time. And afterwards, I caught up with some of the delegates and some of the speakers.
I'm Ollie Wards, I'm the content director of Triple J, National Youth Radio Station in Australia, and we do this huge thing called the Hottest 100, which is an annual music countdown voted by listeners, and I was just talking about how we put that together and some of the values that we apply to that.
How did you make what's basically a countdown of 100 records into a global event?
That's it. I mean, it is a list of 100 songs, but it's a huge audience buy-in because, as I was saying in the presentation, the audience control the whole thing. The voting is rigorous and the numbers are so big that is really meaningful. You know, there's more than 2 million votes submitted every year, and we reflect the audience every step of the way, and they have massive parties. On the day that we have the countdown, everybody has a party to listen, so it just multiplies by groups. People, come to my house and have a listen to this thing. What, you don't listen to the Hottest 100? No, come along. And then people bring their friends in, and it might be one day a year that they listen to the radio station, but it's a huge day for the radio station.
One of my takeaways from your presentation was an OB, an outside broadcast, that you do yourself is not necessarily an event.
Yeah, so, you know, OBs have their place and they're sometimes valuable if you've got, for example, we do a comedy OB, the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, where we have comedians get up. It makes sense because you're delivering that live content in an event format. But the idea that, we'll just do an OB. You've heard that before, the sales guys do that or whatever, like, put an OB somewhere and it creates an event, isn't the case. Because by the nature of doing an outside broadcast, you split your focus as to wherever you are in reality and your focus on the audience listening at home. So you have a split focus there. Sometimes you end up talking to 200 people in a room and forget the 200,000 people listening at home. So what I meant by OBs don't equal event radio is that you can actually create thousands of events. If every listener is having an event at their house, that's way more powerful than...
They've created the event for you.
They do it for you. Work smarter, not harder. You know, like, I think there's so many ways of doing that. I mentioned that we encourage our audience to, you know, wear a T-shirt. They go out and advertise for us. We don't have to do anything. We don't even have advertising. We've never had a billboard. We've never had any above-the-line marketing. But people go out and wear our station merchandise proudly because they want to show that they're part of the community. That advertises it, but it also builds the community.
My name's Sachandrika Chakrabarty, and I was talking about how to grow an audience of podcasts, and I was referring to my podcast, Black Mirror Cracked, which is about a TV show, Black Mirror.
Now, you don't come from an independent radio background, a radio background, do you?
First time, yeah.
So what got you into the idea of making audio?
So I was working for the Daily Mirror, working for a newspaper, and there was a big push across the entire company to start podcasts. My job was the trainer, so I trained journalists as well as being a journalist, and often I was given the job of, can you teach Facebook Lives? I've never done one. Oh, okay, I guess I'll do one. And I felt it was really important to at least try everything, and even if I failed, that's quite a good learning curve to put in my deck and kind of say, look, I failed, but I gave it another go. So me and my friend Dan, as I keep mentioning him, it wouldn't have worked without him and his technical knowledge. So he did an acting degree, and it was his theatre sound that he did as part of his degree. So he said, look, I can do the technical side, we'll make it and break it. You can do the presenting side, and you've got the previews, and you know the show. Let's pitch it. Let's see how it goes. And so originally we just made 7. One was a Charlie Brooker interview, which I think really helped us get on the front page of Apple and all of that.
Because this is based, for people who don't know, this is based on that series that he wrote.
Yeah, so it was Channel 4 originally, and now it's on Netflix. And I think why we got sort of a very big audience bump in that first week is it comes out on Netflix. Everyone watches it and then goes, I want to discuss it more. For me, I think, you know, I've been interviewing all this time, been doing loads of interviews. And sometimes people have said thank you or give me a hug afterwards, and you're kind of like, oh, this was great. Or sometimes people call it therapy. And I was like, oh, there's something there. But I didn't realise you can publish that audio and it will be meaningful. And that's what you guys have been doing all this time with radio.
Hey,
is
welcome
talking
aboard.
To that one person, like Terry Wogan says. So it was a delightful thing to kind of find that it worked and people enjoyed it.
So have you crossed the floor now? Would you describe yourself? Have you got a business card now that says audio producer?
I did. I've given them all out at other conferences this year. It does say podcast producer. I can't say that I know enough about radio. I've not really been in a studio and I don't have that level of knowing about audio quality that a trained person does, but I'm willing to learn. I say it's good to be multimedia as much as possible. A lot of my talk today was about things I learned from being a digital journalist and then thinking about how to come up with a podcast and how to promote it. Yeah, I would want to always be doing podcasting. Now I'm freelance now. I've left the Mirror and I wouldn't want to continue a career where I didn't do audio. So I'm talking to someone about possibly doing a new podcast.
So briefly, what did you make of this event?
Oh, it was brilliant. Number one, a beautiful venue, and it's a real privilege to stand in the middle of that theatre. Susie from Acast was brilliant. The stuff around branded content, it makes us feel so hopeful, because I know lots of journalists and people from radio probably feel the same. Oh, I want to keep branded content really far from journalism. And I think that's fine. Let's just be really honest about which one's which, flag it up to the audience. We have to be really practical about how we make our money now. It's much harder these days. Really enjoy Valerie Geller as well. I think it's really true that I've always felt if I found a story boring or a person boring, that was possibly a failure in me in that moment, if I think of myself as someone who tells stories for a living. So there's always something there. If people are willing to talk to you and give you some of their time, there's probably a great story there. See if you can find it. So it's been an inspiring day.
I found Brett Spencer, Next Radio veteran. You've been to probably all of these, like me, haven't you?
I think I have been to all of them. I've spoken at three of them.
It's a fantastic event. What would you pick out from this year?
I think early on this morning, I really liked Susie Warhurst from Acast talking about branded podcasts and the potential for that. I think that's a field that people are only just really beginning to start to explore, and how we sell podcasts into big business and what it can do for them, I think is fascinating. I thought that presentation was great. I really liked Sushandrika, thank you, presentation about Black Mirror and her Black Mirror Cracked podcast that had sort of 20,000 downloads in the first week. Can you imagine if you'd done that as sort of a podcast for one of the bigger media companies and the cease and desist letter you would get, but Netflix sent her merch to celebrate her doing it? So I thought that was incredibly positive and showed you how sort of, you know, the streaming brands approach the way fans interact with their brands in a completely different way. So that was fascinating. And then just now, I like Jane Osler's piece of research about how advertisers are beginning to engage with audio on different platforms, and some ideas in there about how advertising can work on smart speakers, which is an area I'm currently working on, and other areas that are away from the linear program.
I love the fact that people want to share their thoughts. It's not a closed kind of showing off process, Next Radio. It's about, here's some things that I do. What do you think?
Yes, it could also be, there's all sorts of presentations that are not necessarily about a thing or a project. A lot of it is kind of think pieces and pieces on things people have learned. I look back on a couple of years ago to Kate Cocker's presentation about working with a presenter, which I think, you know, she then got a whole career out of working with presenters. And this can be a real springboard into thinking about things a bit differently.
And David Lloyd's thing about how the brain works was brilliant.
David Lloyd's extraordinary. He never does the same presentation twice, and they're always fantastic. It's like Bruce Springsteen. You never quite know what you're going to get, but it's always great.
Brett, thank you.
I'm Sophie Shardlow, the editor at BBC Radio Leicester.
It's lovely to see people from the BBC here. What have you made of the event?
I think it's been amazing. We've just heard a guy who's been telling us that brainstorming is bullshit. Now, yes, I'm such a sheep. I completely agree with him, so I'm a sheep again with someone else, but it's fascinating.
It's an extraordinary event in terms of just its variety, isn't it?
Absolutely, and the camaraderie between all the different radio people. You know, you're brushing shoulders with people who you just don't get to meet normally, and the positive vibe, the excitement, and the feeling of actually radio is something that's happening, it's buzzy, it's not dying, we're all really excited about the future.
I'm bound to ask you, just because it's topical, what are you doing on your station about having your own shows in the evenings?
Well, I see it's an opportunity to actually get completely different voices on. Voices that you don't hear somewhere elsewhere on the BBC. The BBC local radio can sound a bit stuffy, a bit conventional. So this is a great chance to actually reflect people who live in Leicestershire, but actually a different, younger, more vibrant people. The first show I did was the Curry Show. I wanted to reflect diversity, but not going, here's my diverse programme. And I wanted it to be local. Well, Leicester is a curry capital, so we do a live cookery show. and it's a cross between sort of Come Dine With Me and Saturday Kitchen. And then we had an England game last week, and before the England game I took an arts programme out there, a South Asian arts programme outside, talking about actually what's the difference between theatre and football. And we've had grime artists on and people that aren't your traditional BBC radio fodder.
I'm Andy McPherson, and I was talking about SurveyBot, which is a music research platform using Facebook Messenger, which is really making music research a lot easier.
Don't you, I bet you do, yearn for the days where you could just sit and listen to a pile of records and go, yeah, that one would work. No, I don't like that one so much.
No, because I think life moves on. Good heads of music, content directors, they still listen to music, so they still do all that. They've just got data sets from all over the place to add into the mix. And the thing is, I really like this because people are doing less music research with listeners because it's difficult. So this is a way to do that and add it in the mix. But, you know, I always say, you can't be a slave to the numbers. It's a good guide, but the know-how of people inside the brands is really important as well. So it's a really good element alongside everything else.
But we're always told, aren't we, to innovate. So we're told to make different formats in speech radio. We're told to have more diverse programs. We're told to look for new and inventive ideas. But you guys in music radio are saying, no, unless the data tells me to play these tunes, I'm not going to take any risks.
Well, I think if you're a broadcast music brand, when you've got lots of competition from narrowcast, personalised, online streams, then it's very difficult to do that. So I think you have to take calculated risks, which is, here's a new artist, we believe in it, and we're going to take a big, we're going to take a punt on it. So I think you get fewer chances to do that, but you can still do it. But you have to have the strength of a really strong music proposition around you. So this is really about doing that. But I think the dynamics changed. So you can't take the number of risks like you could back in the day. There's just
So if you're running Radio 2, you can probably take a risk. But if you're running Magic Chilled or Smooth, you've got to be dead on the money.
Yeah. Radio 2 have earned the right to take risks, haven't they? They've created an ecosystem where listeners are happy. They don't spend much, if any, time anywhere else. And so they do take risks. You look at the playlist, Jeff does a fantastic job with that team, and they are absolutely doing it right. But they've earned the right, and that's really unusual. The other brands you mentioned there are mood listens, I guess. So they're defined by what they are. So it's hard to take a risk, really. And people go to them. They don't go for them for that long, necessarily, but they go to them for a specific reason. So if you went to Magic Chilled and you heard something that didn't make sense, it would just question, or you might question why you were there at all. Whereas with Radio 2, that's not the question you're asking yourself.
Matt Deegan, James Cridland, the organisers. This is the 8. Mm. Matt, one of the best?
It's good. I think it improves every year, it changes every year. I think the sector changes a lot and we try and reflect that, or interesting things pop up because of how the sector changes. But lots of things, lots about stories and ideas this year. A lot about people being really comfortable with digital and working out how to win at it or do clever things. And that's probably a shift, I think.
Yeah. What do you think's changed since you started Next Radio, James?
I mean, I think we are much more now about podcasting, around on-demand, around all of audio, rather than just focusing on the small world of UK radio as we were then. And I think, you know, having so many international speakers here as well this year has been really good, because, you know, the Finnish lady who spoke was fantastic.
She was,
you know,
brilliant.
She was great, sharing things that worked and things that didn't. And it's almost more useful to hear things that didn't work, so that you know that actually that's been tried and you shouldn't do that again. So I think all of that has been really, really useful.
What did you make of the guy talking about how brainstorming doesn't work?
Oh, Wade did a great job. This is one of James's bookings, so I wasn't aware of him before I saw him rock up today. Really interesting, you know. And brainstorming, we all do exactly the same thing, and we never even question it, do we? So, oh, we'll go in a room and we'll talk about things. And he had some really good points about ways to restructure that or to think about that. And there'll be videos, if you weren't here, there'll be videos of that session and all the sessions up on the Next Radio website.
James, you now, I was going to say famously, no, you don't famously live in Australia, but you do live in Australia. What do you make of the UK when you come back now?
It's interesting. I come back every 6 months or so, and there are things now that, as an outsider, I kind of notice, and I go, oh, that's interesting. But, and I think...
You're going to have to be more specific.
So I went all the way through Heathrow Airport. I changed there from a Qantas flight to a BA flight, and I went all the way through Heathrow Airport. Not a single person either smiled at me or said please or thank you or, you know, or genuinely wished me a good day. And I guess I'm just so used to that in Australia now. So that was a bit strange. And, you know, but turning on the TV news, and it's still all Boris Johnson and Brexit and everything else. So it's, none of that has changed.
What about UK radio? When you're here and you listen to us, now that you listen to a lot more around the rest of the world, how do we stand? Because we've always, and you and I have talked about this before, being British, we always tend to be a bit pompous about our radio. It's the best in the world, is it?
I mean, I think that there's a certain part of actually genuinely the BBC does tremendous things. Commercial radio here does things that I have not seen in other radio markets, you know, and it does things very, very well indeed. So I think that there is good reason to turn around and say UK radio is really, really good. But as we've seen today, lots to learn. I think what has been most interesting is doing the occasional bit of work for the ABC in Australia. They see me as being very refreshing because I haven't listened to the ABC for 45, 47 years. I've listened to other things. And so I come in and I go, what the hell are you doing that for? As an example, ABC Radio at the top of the hour plays this piece of, you know, orchestral music from the 1930s. It's a bit like Sports Report on Five Live, but it's worse. And they play that at the top of the hour, every single hour, to herald the news. And literally the first time I heard that, I thought, what the hell is this? Now, after living there for 3 years, I go, oh yeah, that's just the news jingle. And I'm trying to not do that as much because, it is useful having a fresh pair of ears, particularly a pair of ears that's heard radio from all over the world.
Matt, I guess there'll be another one.
We'll see. We do this thing from two continents and it's complex. We have busy lives. I always hate it going into it and then I get re-energised when we do it and say it was a great day. We'll have a chat and see what's next.
Well, congratulations on behalf of all of us who attended, but especially me.
Well, thank you.
That was Trevor Dan reporting from this year's Next Radio Conference. And as Matt Deegan said, you'll be able to watch videos of all the sessions soon at next.radio.
Visual radio, smarter and cheaper. Virtual director from Broadcast Bionics combines your social media, messaging, photos, audio and videos with intelligent camera control and automated graphics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
It is the weekly podcast from Radio Today, and the Community Radio Awards were held in Sheffield at the weekend. Radio Today's Dom Chambers was there, and he's been speaking to some of the winners and the organiser, Martin Steers.
It's an absolutely fantastically vibrant and fun, engaging evening. We've got over 200 people here at the third awards. More and more people keep coming every year. It's very much a loving, welcoming, networking, sharing best practice environment, and everyone's having a great time. The Community Radio Awards have sort of got a multiple-pronged approach, the big one being about celebrating and promoting the great work that community radio does in its communities, in its areas, for its volunteers and that sort of thing. And somebody getting nominated or somebody receiving a bronze, silver or gold is a great opportunity to shout about your station, shout about what you're doing and try and get coverage in the local press, the local media, send it to stakeholders and be really proud of as a station that you're being recognised for the great work and the best practice. And then the other major prong is about bringing people together and not only having a party, but also sharing best practice and trying to get stations to work together and all learn from each other. You know, we're not in competition with each other. We're all here together to do that celebration, but also to see and learn and maybe even steal some ideas from others.
That was Martin Steers, the chair and founder of the Community Radio Awards. Well, Daniel Bruce was there. He's European CEO of the global charity Internews. And here he is talking about one of the awards he presented at Summer Valley FM's METS training programme, which won gold in the Community Development Project of the Year.
I think what is really exciting about the model that you've developed there is that it's really demonstrating a number of things to the wider sector and to a number of stakeholders, which is that community radio isn't just about what comes out of the speakers. It's about what is put into the community and the opportunities that are being provided for often vulnerable or marginalised groups within communities that would just not come from anywhere else. And in so doing, you are also creating a subsidiary arm of your organisation, which is helping to continue to deliver community media. So really, it's a win-win-win and absolutely worthy of the recognition that you've achieved tonight, and something that I hope will be a model that I hope can be taken to scale nationally over time.
Well, let's hear from some of the winners now. You're going to hear coming up from Fergus from Radio Vulture, which won Station of the Year. Zetland FM's Julie Donaldson, Gold in Female Presenter of the Year. And also the Newcomer of the Year winner, Jane Steele from Drystone Radio.
We are delighted that we've won this award. It's a great tribute to the work of the volunteers who come into the station week after week after week after week with their shows prepared, doing lots of work. And there's that little extra bit, because a lot of them are learners. They would be fluent, but when it's not your first language, there's more difficulty and people are more reticent. There's more work involved in preparing scripts and so on. So we have people from as young as 18, I think, is our youngest, and our oldest is, I'm not sure whether she's 86 or 87, but she's well up there, and she is as regular as clockwork. She comes in with her show prepared. She's quite radical and interesting in some of her ideas, and she comes in and without fail every week. We don't judge the weeks from Monday to Friday. We judge the week from whenever Clara comes in on a Tuesday. And so another week's by because Clara's in through the door and doing her show.
I am absolutely over the moon. I got bronze last year, and that was my first entry. This is my second get gold this year. I'm absolutely thrilled, really thrilled. In the job that I do, I'm very driven by trying to get positive news. The area that I'm from, the area that we are based in, Redcar and Cleveland, is often seen in a very negative way. Sometimes it can actually be it can beat itself up about itself. So sometimes I'll try to sort of reflect back on itself and say, actually, we've got an awful lot of entrepreneurial people, creative, artistic people. So I've sort of tried to pull together the passion that I have for the area into the submission that I've put forward.
I'm passionate about being the voice for the ordinary person, helping people listen to the things that matter to them, the things that are important to them. I've done quite a few features. One that I'm passionate about is farming in Yorkshire. My programme's called Over the Dry Stone Wall, and I did a feature, Join Me Over the Dry Stone Wall. We're not all flat caps and ferrets. You know, there is more to Yorkshire farming than that because it's so diverse.
Here's Martin Steers again from the Community Radio Awards.
Watch out for 2019, and if you've not entered the awards before or you want to get involved, please do. We want more and more stations and more entries, and even judges. So if you're listening and you're involved in sort of commercial BBC or independent radio and you fancy maybe giving your insight and your feedback to the entries, please do get in touch.
That's Martin Steers. Well done to all the winners. You'll see the full list at radiotoday.co.uk. And thanks to Dom Chambers, who did those interviews in Sheffield, where the Community Media Conference was taking place, and also the Community Radio Awards. And you can hear more of his audio in our sister podcast produced for Radio Today by Dom Chambers, all about community radio and the third sector. It is called the In Radio Podcast. Look it up from your usual podcast provider. David Lloyd's Radio Moments are still to come. Next, James Cridland.
At james.crid.land, I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. This week, the secret to achieving a growing radio industry could be as simple as this. Well, I'm here in Cavendish Square in London, where the doors are just about to open for Next Radio, the radio conference that I run here with my friend Matt Deegan. It's a positive radio conference with an uplifting feel. But if you go to a radio conference in the US or Canada, there won't be that many smiling faces. Because there's a general feeling in the US and Canada that radio is managing decline. But in other countries, like here, radio is behaving differently. The UK commercial radio industry has grown over the past year by 5.2%. Australian commercial radio has grown by 3.8%. Commercial radio in Finland is growing as well. Their figures are harder to decipher, but July grew by 6.6% over June, and June grew by 17% over May. Now, these aren't the stories you'll hear from the US and Canada, and I'm often asked why, and it's not an easy answer. The UK has seen relaxation of some regulations and it has a strongly multi-platform market. Australia's regulation has always been quite relaxed, but it isn't particularly multi-platform. And Finland, well, Finland's rejected DAB radio, so it isn't multi-platform to any great extent. And much of radio there is national, and there's no particular story of brand consolidation either. So at first glance, there's nothing really in common to any of those markets. Except, I think, there is. And it's probably more simple than you'd think. Because in the UK, commercial radio has an effective industry body called Radio Centre, and they promote the medium to agencies, lobby government, and sing radio's praises, and they're really very good at it. In Australia, commercial radio too has an effective industry body. It's called Commercial Radio Australia. And they too promote the medium to agencies, lobby government, and sing radio's praises, and they're tenacious and efficient. And in Finland, their industry body is Radio Media, and they lobby government, promote the medium to agencies and market radio as well, to great effect. Unlike North America, these industry bodies only look after radio. They don't represent television broadcasters. There's no conflict of interest. Their only concern is a healthy radio industry. And they do that one job very successfully. And unlike North America, there's one organisation doing everything from advertising promotion to lobbying and research. One simple, straightforward organisation made up of a membership of commercial radio broadcasters. So perhaps one of the ways for a successful, growing industry really is as easy as copying these successful countries and establishing an industry association that only has one focus, and that's radio. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. And now here's another person who's here for Next Radio this week, David Lloyd. Radio
Moments. A year is a long time in radio, and it's only 12 months since the award-winning Sam and Amy said farewell to Jem in the East Midlands after over 11 years on The Breakfast Show.
Well, we share everything on the show. That's the whole point of our show, is we share our lives with you and you share yours with ours.
Yep.
So it's only fair when anything happens that we tell everyone about it.
Go on then.
So, so this morning, well, Sam would like to tell you about our situation after 11 years on The Breakfast Show.
11 and a half years, friend.
11 and a half years, don't you? That's a very long time. A long time, I've had to say, opposite that, man.
So we were talking to friends and family only last night, and it's been 11 and a half years, but after 11 and a half years, in 2 weeks from now, Amy and I are leaving Gem. We've done this breakfast show for 11 and a half years. And the weird thing is that I was talking to somebody only the other day in my barbers in Keyworth, and he said, I've been listening to you since day one. So he had been there for when I said I proposed to my wife, I was getting married.
Mm.
That was 11 years ago. We celebrated our 10th wedding anniversary yesterday. And in those 11 years, two kids, Navy and Nancy. Amy's been through a string of boyfriends as well.
All right. I'll be honest, this is my longest commitment to anything.
Sam and Amy on Gem this time last year. They ended up, of course, at Virgin. And then Chris Evans said he wanted to have a go at their show instead. So they're being moved across the schedule now. And well done on their response, as professional as is to be expected from that lovely pair. That's a show where Amy rules whatever Sam thinks. So let's stay with influential women. This week in 1943, Kate Smith ended a marathon on air broadcast in America. It was to raise funds in pledges for war bonds to take money from circulation and reduce inflation. She was on air from 8 a.m. to 2 a.m. the following day.
Hello, everybody. Today is a day that no living American can ever forget. Invasion Day, forged into our consciousness in letters of fire. It marks the pinnacle of weeks and months and years of anguished preparation, the consolidating of our mighty forces. This is the hour of the death blow to those, our enemies, who have spread evil, sorrow, and suffering like a black
She raised shadow millions of dollars. Kate Smith was an early multimedia star with her music, theatre, TV, and radio talk shows, and she became known as the First Lady of Radio. And there she was, on air this week, 75 years ago. Another woman who was stirring things up this week in 1979 was 30-year-old Cecilia Garnett. it had just been announced that she was to run the 20th commercial radio station, Hereward, in Peterborough. And she was saying that all the commercial stations and BBC local stations were run by men and that women should have a bash. She said at the time in the press, "There will not be any silly recipes and all that stuff about homemaking that typify the man's view of what women want to hear." And then she went on and said, "If it doesn't work, I'll be the first to get fired." Cecilia had been at the regulator, the IBA, and later at commercial radio's then trade body, the AIRC.
What anybody looking at radio after its first year must be impressed with is the distinctiveness of the individual stations. They've all got their own problems. Clyde perhaps had fewer problems than other stations because there was a gap there waiting to be filled. But they came in and they've established a very distinctive sound. If you go up to Glasgow, you'll find that the sound coming out of the Glasgow transmitter will be perhaps not to a Londoner's taste, but it will certainly, I think, be to a Glasgow person's taste. Of course, they brought stereo to Scotland, which I think was very important. Stereo is very important because local radio is music, basically.
Cecilia Garnett. This week, 4 years ago, it was the Scottish referendum, and the English station Bob FM, for Hearts, Beds and Bucks, had their take on the matter.
Hang on. I'm gonna stop this song. I'm gonna stop it. I'm having that.
What's going on?
The Scots have been winding me up this week. You know, we're so close to the end of the United Kingdom as we know it, and then we have to play that. You know, Scottishness. He says he'll walk 500 miles. But come on. A lot of them don't want anything to do with England. You don't want anything to do with England? After all we've done for you. For 300 years. We've put up with your bagpipes. Your spicy eggs. Your hairy cattle. Your short-ass ponies, your men in skirts, and the crankies.
And so it went on. As Graham Mack wrote in his blog, the treatment attracted great publicity, alongside some pretty serious threats too. But despite hundreds of complaints to Ofcom, none was upheld. Presenters growing old reminds us of our own mortality. How can this chap possibly be 60 this week?
Simon Mayo through till 3 o'clock today, and Gary did say, please make your bit in the middle as much like mine as possible, except not quite as brown.
I had been put with another producer, who was Gary Davis's regular producer, who was very, very scary. For, you know, for a local radio boy like me going down, Paul Williams was just, he was just mad and crazy, you know. So, and I was more terrified of him than I was of actually doing the show. But then he was taken ill. Thank you, Lord. And no, it was nothing serious. And Malcolm, who was the exact opposite and was Steve Wright's producer, was very laid back. And he was saying, he popped his head round the door 5 minutes before I was due to start, 20 to 1, and said, "Everything all right, Simon?" I said, "Yes, fine. Do you want anything?" "No." And he just shut the door and went, which was exactly what I wanted. I wanted to be left alone.
Blimey, what do I say now? I'd worked out what I was going to say to start with, but I resort to the script. 7:04, good morning, that's Aztec Camera, Somewhere in My Heart. Everyone's saying, what does it feel like to start a brand new breakfast show? Feels more than anything like the first day of term at a new school. Have you ever been the new kid at the new school in your new school uniform and feel all sort of out of place and no one talks to you? Worried about the homework?
Yeah, and then I did breakfast for a number of years. Scruples came out. So Scruples was a radio show on Radio 1 on its own. The religious department did Scruples, and which came out of the board game. That ran for one prestigious series on BBC One Tea Time on Sundays, and then sort of no one ever thought that ever again.
You may have seen the odd rumour that following Terry Wogan's decision to quit breakfast on Radio 2, and that Chris Evans was going to replace him, that I, so the rumour had it, was to replace Chris on Drive Time on Radio 2. Well, these rumours are 100% accurate.
Thank you for all the calls, thank you for the emails, thank you for the texts. Stand by. Tony Blackburn's Golden Hour is on the way. Live from the Cheltenham Jazz Festival, it's Friday night is Music Night. Then it's Sarah Cox. Then it's Annika Rice. Have a top weekend. I'm off to regenerate.
Happy 60th birthday to Simon Mayo from Radio Nottingham to Radio 2 via Radio 1 and 5 Live. So, with the launch of 2CR in Bournemouth 38 years ago, now Heart. 2CR from Bournemouth Town, 0362. The beginnings of Pennine in Bradford 43 years ago, now Pulse.
I must admit, it's nice to be the very first programme on the wireless.
The death of Henry Owens from Galaxy and Atlantic 252 5 years ago.
Oh, we play the most music. We've got Liza Minnelli and the Pet Shop Boys on the way. This is such a good record.
The launch of Radio X and Moyle's returning 3 years ago.
Anyway, I'm Chris. I'll be your host and guide through the next week, few weeks, month, few months. And let's just leave it there and see how we get on.
And Global announcing the biggest rebrand in commercial radio history with the rollout of Heart 10 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Thanks also to James Cridland and to Dom Chambers and guests at the Community Radio Awards, to Trevor Dan and his guests at Next Radio, and to Radio Today's editor, Roy Martin.
Oh, thank you very much. Can I go now? I've been sat here for
hours. You can go now. We'll be back next week. We're in London together, reunited at Drive to Digital. So join us for that on next week's podcast.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.